I don't think this is the first mistake or last.
If this is the worst mistake of the country, we're doing great.
Yeah. And what is mistake?
I think it is capacitary with an A.
Okay. Okay. So, thank Karin Neisen for this opportunity to be here and give a talk. And for people that was in Williamsburg, I repeat a little bit the general preamble of all this talk. So idea is the following. In some sense, I use a similar to the other talk, the other Hales talks. Idea is the following. So in some sense, capacity plays the same role as measure for subtle function. What it means that you have some losing type property, and if you have some losing type property, you can think about uniformly continuous function outside of set of small capacity, and if it's uniformly continuous, you can extend function to the boundary. Unfortunately, it doesn't work properly, and it is known why it's not work. It's known from maybe all time from Carassadori works. Carassadori works has no connection with Sobolev spaces, but there is some interplay with Sobolev spaces. What is this? So idea is to change metric in domain with help of capacity. If I change metric in domain with help of capacity, the point is that I need some special property of capacity of this one. One of this property is that capacity of point is zero. Other way we have no metrics, and this will have immediate restriction for where is this one? As immediate restriction, p more than n minus 1 and less than n. Explanation essentially the following, that if p more than n, then capacity of point is more than 0, it is equivalent to existence of embedding to space of continuous function. So main case is less than this one. And this is very unfortunate restriction, p more than n minus 1, because what I need that capacity of curve that join two points will be non-zero. And this is very unfortunate because if n equals 3, n minus 1 equals 2, and the main interesting case for elliptic equation is outside of scope of this type. The second remark that of course as metric space, p capacitor metric is not equivalent. Any p capacitor metric is not equivalent to Euclidean metric, but into domain it is equivalent to Euclidean topology, and it means that into domain we have something nothing interesting because it is the same value of function. And the last remark that I have not time for this business is p more than n. Some analog of the capacitor metric can be introduced by the following way. I have to use batch product of my domain to k-dimensional interval up to the moment that I go to the situation when capacity of point is zero. Okay? Oops. Next slide. In some sense, I return to very old results of myself and even Vodopyanov. In early 80s, we constructed n capacitory boundary, as we call it capacitory boundary. And this construction had no connection with Sobolev spaces because we have no idea that the connection exists. And our point was extension of Carassadori and some sense Alford's result that you can extend quasi-conformal mapping to boundary. Okay. A little bit about history. Of course, the concept is common for geometry and analysis. I think the first example that I know is Poincaré disk. It is an example of ideal boundary for hyperbolic plane. And it's a geometrical realization of the ideal boundary. And the scope of our construction, it's not, I don't know how to talk about this. And for two-dimensional theory, the main point is usually the Riemann mapping theorem, the state existence of conformal mapping from disk to any non-trivial simply connected plane domain. That non-trivial means that it has at least two boundary points. The standard question that you can ask immediately, you can ask immediately what happens with the boundary correspondence. Euclidean boundary correspondence doesn't exist. It was known to Carotta Dorit from 1913. And he tried to describe boundary behavior of plane conformal mapping in geometric terms. I have no time to explain which terms. And the main criteria theorem states that any conformal homomorphism of unit disk induces one-to-one correspondence of prime ends. So what is prime ends? Roughly speaking, it is boundary continuums that have capacity zero, conformal capacity zero. Okay? History is a bit interesting because Lavrentiev introduced metric relative distance for prime ends, and after almost 20 years of war of constructed a counterexample to this relative distance, because this relative distance is not metric. And for this class of metrics, equivalent metrics in some sense, Carotta prime ends represent a compactification of plane domain. Okay? There is a number of different intrinsic metrics. Two capacitor metric is one of these metrics. After that was two main attempts to construct ideal boundaries for dimension more than two. One of these may be more known, it's to put this subject into Banach algebras. What is Rodin algebra? I'm talking about uniform Sobolev spaces, where you have seminor gradient. If you add to the seminor norm of norm and C, you got Banach algebra. And for this Banach algebra, you can construct ideal boundaries, usually, you have compactification. Problem with this compactification is the following. This compactification for plane domain do not coincide with Carassadori compactification, because boundary has not Hausdorff topology, even. It is one of the attempts. This is a little bit about history of Roydan compactification. And the concept that we proposed, based on conformal capacity, as boundary is not so huge, it's coincide with prime ends and the law of compactification. The one of the main problems still open with this capacitory metric is that we cannot prove compactness. For plane case, of course, it's compact because we prove that it coincides with Carassadori boundary. Carassadori boundary, by old result, is compactification, it's formally compactification, but some direct proof is necessary. Can I just mention that this is not coincide? As the second part, what is connection between prime ends? Theory and theory of Sobolev spaces. Of course, connection exists only in two-dimensional case, it's a mistake in slide, but it is also old result of myself and Adapiano for conformal or quasi-conformal case that space L1 and omega is invariant under quasi-conformal homomorphism, in some sense not only invariant, but any lattice, any order preserving operator can be represented by quasi-conformal homomorphism. So that is nothing else. And the idea is simple. If the space is invariant under quasi-conformal conformal mapping, of course we can try to look for boundary value. In this for plane simply connected domain, it is the end of the story because we have mappings. I know extension to the disk, to the circle. If I know extension to the circle, I can use this compactification. I can use this business. And it's only for p equal dimension. Okay. This is just definition of uniform Sobolev spaces. Maybe more natural that if we talk about one form, but okay, it's mapping in weak sense. And the main role to the concept of peak capacity, there are two different concepts. One of this concept was used by Heilish, and the thing that I wrote in this slide, it is definition of so-called variational capacity. What is variational capacity? We have two compact sets in domain omega, and you're trying to solve a variational problem. If you solve this variational problem, at least for p more than one, external function is unique, and this is capacity of condenser, where condenser is a pair of compact sets, like in standard electrostatic theory. Okay. What is good, what is bad with the notion of capacity? In some sense, capacity is intermediate language. So you can formulate necessary and sufficient condition in terms of capacity, but I think you have to translate at least for insufficient sense to more or less normal language. But I hope that this intermediate language is convenient. And what I need for all this business, I need asymptotic behavior of capacity. Okay, the next slide is something I repeat, things that you heard here. That Sobolev function defined on left set of measures zero, but they can be redefined pointwise up to a set of peak capacity zero. Peak capacity, and this in the previous slide, this is the peak capacity of condenser, but in the case of zero, it doesn't matter which condenser we use, it's invariant sense. Okay? And idea, if you have something like measure for this space, you can move to directions capacitory measure, something like this exists. And another side, it's losing of Yegorov type theorem that function is continuous outside the set of small capacity. If you're looking to extension, we need something more than continuous. We need uniformly continuous outside the set of small capacity. And this is the main problem that exists in this context. What is the result? Our main theorem shows that for a large class or for a reasonable class of domain, boundary value function of u from L1p omega can be extended, can be understood on the p capacitory boundary. And you can think that it is ideal boundary. What is basic sense? That for smooth domain, traces are known and they are bursts of spaces. For case of Lipschitz domain, it's also known. It means that we can look in direction of extension domain. So we have extension domain all this machinery can work. But in some sense, it's not very trivial task, because for cusp-type singularity, we proved with my colleague and friend Vasilchik, we proved that on the boundary we have weighted best of spaces where weight depends on type of singularity, and it means that description explicit theorem cannot be very simple. Okay? The definition of capacitory metric. Maybe I have to do something. Yes. Rough idea is very simple. We have two points. We connect these two points. We have a hole here. I give some huge hole, for example, with a zero measure or something like both. And you are looking for capacity of this pair. After that, you are trying to find minimal distance in the sense of capacity. Why we have two parts here? Because maybe from a static point of view, I'm trying to not to talk about whole. But the main part is the first part. Capacity, so we minimize this distance. The main result is that for p between n and n minus 1, it is really a distance. We have metric space. And if we have metric space, we can complete it by standard procedure, and you have complete metric space. Open questions, compact or not compact, I don't know. For the moment, I know only for a few cases. So what is the reason? Here we shall prove that the quantity is an intrinsic metric. Of course, quantity exists for any p, but it will not be metric. And if we are looking in the context of this composition operator, we have to look about invariantness. And in this slide, I forgot to put technical conditions that you have this domain V. This domain V is quasi-conformal image of a ball or something, just to avoid technicalities. And if you are looking for this class of metric for p equal n is quasi-conformally invariant. Not any metric itself, but class of metric. But it is important because this p capacitory boundary, Hp, does not depend on metric from the class. Okay. Okay, just repeat the same. And this gadget is new, p quasi-conformal homomorphisms. And maybe I have to explain what it means, p quasi-conformal. After that, you can find formal definition. One of definition of quasi-conformality is the following. So we have infinitesimal ball, it goes to infinitesimal ellipsoid. It is maximal semi-x. And if you put maximum semi-x degree n and divide to Jacobian, it is uniformly bounded. You can change n to p here. In this case, you have another classes that we call p quasi-conformal mapping, and they are useful in this context, at least from geometrical part. But extension of this mapping to boundary. Let's move. Okay, it's formal definition. The homomorphism p between Euclidean domains is called p quasi-conformal. This is weakly differentiable. And you have this such kind of a uniform inequality. A theorem that I quoted here, look at it, that this corner morphism induce bounded composition operator, and it means that we are in the context of previous result and we change conformality to P quasi conformality. The problem with P quasi conformality is that nothing like Riemann mapping theorem is not known, and few results that we have for this business. And first theorem claims that if you constructed two different metrics, they are equivalent. Theorem 4 claims that for this restriction between n and n minus 1, the quantity is an intrinsic metric. It's corollary that I formulated non-formally. It's formulated formally here that for p between n minus 1 and n, two p capacitory metrics are equivalent, and boundary is the same, it is invariant definition. Topology induced by p capacitory metric coincides with Euclidean topology. Next definition, it's a bit formal, but it's very simple. We can talk about support of boundary element. And the idea of support is simple. You are looking for something, the capacity goes to zero. What you have at the limit, it's support of boundary element. A little bit about connection with topology. Let domain is locally connected at any point, then identical mapping between domain can be extended to homomorphism. It's some mistake here. To extend homomorphism between this type of compactification. Okay. Conjecture, it's only conjecture. Conjecture is that for any domain we have losing theorem, but not losing theorem in Euclidean metric. As point is that you have this p capacitory metric, and what is necessary is that we have losing theorem for p capacitory metric. What it means is that if I put out a set of small capacity, open set of small capacity outside of this set, functions from this space is uniformly continuous. I cannot prove this theorem. It's only conjecture. And as usual, if you have, you cannot prove, you put new definition. And this is a new definition that let us call domain omega p losing domain if for every function u from L1p and any epsilon more than zero, so this open set of the p capacity less than epsilon, and such as the function is uniformly continuous or p capacitory metric in the complement of this set. As the next question, when it exists, when it's possible to do. At first, it's correct for any plane simply connected domain in p equal to by Riemann mapping theorem. Because if you have mapping, mapping translates this property to another domain. Second one, if you have extension domain, then by classical result, it was quoted by Piotr Hajlasz, you can extend space, after that you have this losing type theorem for p capacity. And because if your domain was bounded, I forgot to mention it here, then it will be compact, and compact we have uniform continuity. So it means that for extension domain, the result is correct, and for extension domain, we can understand what is extension. It is written a little bit by topological way, but it means that if you have bounded domain as L1p extension domain, then identity mapping is a homomorphism. It's corollary. Any bounded extension domain possesses p-losing property. And another standard trick that I don't need this property extension globally, I need this property extension property only quasi everywhere in the sense of capacity, and it is correct formula relation what it means. The domain omega arranged to be sublevel P1 quasi extension domain for any epsilon more than zero, there is such an open set of P capacity less than epsilon, then omega minus this set is L1P extension domain. It's important for applications because it's the main difference between dimension 2 and dimension 3 that is well known in theory of quasi-conformal mapping. So if you have something like this, it, as they call reach. In plain theory, it's known that for any prime end, you can access this prime end only in one point from the domain. In dimension 3, it's not correct. And it depends, depending on P and depending on type of cusp, it can be a point in this complement, P capacity complement, or on that point. This connection is some strange sentence, this connection with some boundary value problem for biology. Suppose you have sphere and you have line here. And your function is one here and zero outside. Can you solve Laplace equation for this business? Answer is negative. You cannot solve this at least between n minus 1 and n because such function that does not exist, 0, 1, and 2, and such this trace not exist. But if you have cusp, it is possible. Okay, let's move next to the next slide. This is the main theorem, and in the context, I hope in the context I talked here, it's almost trivial application of Tietz's theorem, because we prove that this is a metric. If you have this P-losing property, then I can extend to ideal boundary any function from L1P. And this extension exists P quasi everywhere in the sense of boundary capacities that you can imagine how to define this. Theorem 9. Suppose D and omega are two Euclidean domains, this technical part, and phi is P quasi conformal homomorphism, then there exists a unique Lipschitz mapping that maps boundary, that maps ideal boundary to ideal boundary. What is the main point with this p-capacitory metric? We have some result about local behavior of matters. For conformal mapping, so any conformal or quasi-conformal mapping in this context is isometry or quasi-isometry. And because it's isometry or quasi-isometry, it's natural you can transfer all properties you want. With p-quasi-conformal mapping, it's a bit complicated, but if you can construct mapping, you can prove something. So generally, main result is that if you can do something for this P-losing property, you can do general result. How it's correct or not correct, I don't know, but maybe two examples. I just return, okay. Okay. I just return to this theorem about transfer. It is a copy of Riemann mapping theorem. What is new this case in this context? The concept of P quasi conformal homomorphism. Of course, if you have by Lipschitz homomorphism, it works by automatical way. This P quasi conformal homomorphism, unfortunately, inverse, don't belong to this class, belong to some dual class. And it means that I have not isometry, I have only Lipschitz mapping. So in any cases in this new measure metric space that constructed from Euclidean domain and Lebesgue measure and this new metric, we can prove something, we can do business. A few examples before examples of what I plan to explain, that what if it's large class of domain. Large class of domain, so for any domain that has extension property locally except set of capacity zero, it can be done. For plain domain, for any simply connected, finitely connected plain domain, this is correct for p equal 2, and I don't know nothing about another p because this gadget, because the conformal mapping not very well known. Okay? In general, it's only conjecture. It's a little bit geometry for this business. Definition M is compact N minus one dimensional Lipschitz manifold with boundary. What the product is product of this manifold to interval arc and infinity. And this is a metric of Werpert product. It is standard geometrical description of region peaks altogether. For this case, it's possible to calculate when this ridge is one element of this new boundary, when this ridge represents different elements. So, here called the Werpert function of the Werpert product. Domain omega is called domain with peak. If it is locally by Lipschitz domain with isolated singular point. Okay, and another example, the formula is the same, but I wrote by historical reasons a bit another representation. It is ridge. You can look in this picture. So this work product is ridge, and for ridge, we can calculate capacity of the ridge. And this integral gives you exact condition for vanishing of capacity. Okay? If capacity is zero, it is boundary element. Okay? It's written in corollary. Okay, I think I have 2-3 minutes for general notion. Of course, it is not connected with L1P, all this business, because you can talk about any capacity that exists in the class of Sobolev spaces or in other spaces as general derivatives. And main point is the following, at least philosophically, I think. Main point is the following, that if capacity of point is zero and capacity of curve is not zero, you have such kind of metric. I don't know how it's useful. I can easily translate all this result for spaces L, M, P, omega. The point is that I don't know nothing about P losing property. As extension domain, what is known about extension domain or local extension domain can be useful here, and up to the moment that this property of this P losing property for this new metric measure space is open, I don't think that this part will be useful. Okay? Thank you for your attention.